When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Doorway to such a hellish place.
To find what was stolen from me.
And what is that?
The kingdom.
You must choose between kindness for your kin or hate for your enemies.
Your strength breaks men's bones. I have the cunning to break their minds.
And night by night, we will carry out my pledge of vengeance.
I will avenge you, Father.
I will avenge you, Father.
I will save you, Mother.
I will save you, Mother.
I will kill you, Father.
That is the trailer for the movie The Northman, a realistic, true to history as much as a film can be, Viking movie. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to review the movie Northman. Pastor Ted Geese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This Viking genre, what other films belong to it that our listeners would know, and why is this the kind of film that producers want to make and that are popular with viewers?
Yeah, you know, Viking-related films and media and television and cartoons and comic books, there's a lot of it. There's always been sort of a trickle of it through the years, even like, I don't know, going back to like Asterix and Obelix, you know, kind of stuff. Disney cartoons where, you know, like they reference the opera, and there's the Valkyrie with the horned helmet, etc. So there's lots of stuff along the way. We've talked about in recent years, there was the kind of fanciful computer generated graphics cartoon film, How to Train Your Dragon. There's that franchise. There's three of them. We've talked about two of them. I think we talked about the 2014 one and the 2019 one. Of course, there's the Thor films. I think that, you know, Thor from 2011, that one kind of, again, was another one of these big Viking-related kind of things. And that Thor one, of course, Thor brings in a bunch of the pagan kind of pantheon from Norse mythology as well. So Thor with his father Odin and his brother, you know, Loki, and their mother Freya, and all of the rest of that kind of stuff is in there. So and then there's the TV shows, right? Like there's like a Netflix one. I think that one, this Vikings TV show, started out on the History Channel, right? That went on for many, many years. Plus there's some new ones that are out now. And there's just more and more and more of it. I remember that movie, The Vikings from 1958 with Kirk Douglas and Tony Curtis and Ernest Borgnine in it with Janet Leigh. And that's very gentle by comparison. I mean, you got like the scene with the Kirk Douglas like running on the oars, you know, as they come in off of their long boat. There's the weird axe throwing scene, kind of like where, you know, about Odin punishing bad wives, which is also very gentle in retrospect if you think about it. It's kind of weird, but, you know, and then the kind of like classic sword fight at the end kind of a thing. So there's lots of this stuff, but I think people who are genuinely interested in Vikings, like from history, maybe they have Norwegian or, you know, Scandinavian, Danish, Icelandic background in their family or whatever, they've kind of been waiting for an authentic Viking movie that is actually true to history. And this Robert Eggers film, The Northman, is, you know, in its presentation is much more authentic to the time period of like 10th century Northern European Vikings of that era.
What's different? You said authentic, but what's different about this one?
Well, I mean, often Viking movies are kind of more played for laughs. And like, basically, this year, I guess we're going to have Thor Love and Thunder, which is the third of the Thor films with Chris Hemsworth, and Natalie Portman comes back into it again in this one. And it's all humor, right? It's you know, it's not the same gravitas that some kind of historical drama might have. And this Robert Eggers film is, I think one kind of different thing is that it's not only is he trying to make something that's authentic to the time period in terms of like the material culture of the people who lived at that time in that culture, but he's trying to make something that's authentic to what they believed as a people. So in terms of like the pagan kind of elements of their religious practices, that also he's trying to make as authentic as possible. And then he's using as his source material this 12th century chronicle from Denmark, The History of the Danes, that was written by this Saxo Grammaticus, and is also the Danish folktale that is the inspiration for William Shakespeare's Hamlet, which came out in the late 16th, early 17th century. So that kind of takes it on a different route than some of these other things. It's maybe more closely aligned with something like the History Channel's version of the Vikings. But in this case, you know, it's the trifecta of like the material culture, the pagan religious practices, and this authentic Danish folk history of the annals of Amleth, you know, this Viking that is part of the thing. I think this is what kind of sets it a little bit apart from something like Asterix and Obelix and your Thor Love and Thunder kind of stuff, or Dancing on the End of Oars, you know, Kirk Douglas from 1958. Although if people want a gentle kind of easygoing Viking movie, that movie Vikings from 1958 might be more up your alley, because this one, again, also that authenticity part is the authentically violent Viking culture of the time.
Tell us about the plot of this film.
Yeah, this is interesting because the trailer, when it came out, you know, got quite a few people online pretty excited about it. You see right from the beginning that there's this young boy, Amleth, who has his father comes home from roving out with the rest of his Viking crew, and his father's a king, played by Ethan Hawke, this king, war raven, it's a Viking name, Avrindil War Raven, and he's married to his queen. This is Amleth's mother, played by Nicole Kidman, and then he quickly ends up seeing his uncle kill his dad. You know, so his dad is murdered by his uncle, and then he escapes, and he's in his rowboat, and he's rowing away as fast as he can, and he says, "I will avenge you, father. I will save you, mother. I will kill you, Fëanor," which is his uncle. And then it switches to him being an adult, saying the same thing, rowing now in a longboat as a big, brawny Viking played by Alexander Skarsgård. And, you know, some people will see that and they'll think, oh, this is kind of the same sort of setup that you would find from John Milius's Conan the Barbarian from 1982, that, you know, like this tragedy befalls this kid, he goes away, he becomes strong, he has an opportunity to find the person who did it, and then he takes out his vengeance on that person. It's a simple setup, and again, it's connected to that Danish folktale or folk history that Hamlet is taken from. So if it seems familiar, kind of maybe Conan the Barbarian kind of familiar, or if you're, you know, watching it and you're starting to piece together, it's okay, so this is his uncle killing his father, taking his mom to be his wife, and then, you know, like him having to deal with all of this you know, now as an adult in the very Hamlet kind of sort of way, then you kind of start to piece together the whole thing. And the trailer only kind of covers mostly, or the initial trailer only really covered mostly everything up to like the first half of the film, pretty much. So if you'd only seen that and went to the theater, you were kind of on your own for the rest of it, which is kind of nice because some trailers spoil the movie for you. And this one, it didn't really spoil it for you, although you might know where it's going.
So like the Shakespeare play that is loosely based on the same kind of history, you say that The Northman, that is Hamlet, The Northman is also a tragedy. How so?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the case where, you know, he sees his father die, and then this little guy, this Amleth, played originally like by this Oscar Novak, who does a really great job as this kid. You know, like, he's got this really close relationship with his dad, and he really puts his dad on the pedestal, and he thinks of his dad in particular ways, and he likes his dad, played by Ethan Hawke. And then as the film progresses, maybe some of the things that he thought about his dad aren't true. But then maybe people are lying about the truth of who his father is. He has all of these things that he has to contest with. And by the time it's Alexander Skarsgård playing this character of Amleth, he really needs to, like, he's taking vengeance into his own hands. In some ways, maybe because he's the prince whose father was killed, there might be some responsibility for him to do this. But that, even that is something that he has to kind of question along the way as facts on the ground as to what's going on start to change in front of him. Does he still continue on with his quest for vengeance? You know, all of these things kind of become part of the thing. And as he's going, he keeps meeting up with tragic events. And he himself is often sometimes the perpetrator of the tragic events. There's lots of death in this. Not everybody makes it out okay. And it doesn't end exactly the same way that Hamlet ends. So if you are listening to this and this is your cup of tea, which it won't be everybody's cup of tea, and you're thinking, well, what's the point? Because it's going to just be exactly the same as Hamlet. It's not. It doesn't go exactly in all of the same places that Shakespeare play goes. And this is not in Shakespearean English, you know, that's not the way that it's being presented either. But you do get your little things like, you know, Hamlet and Shakespeare comes across the skull of his tutor. And there is a moment where Amleth is faced with the decapitated head of his kind of like a mentor type character from early in his life, played originally by Willem Dafoe in the film. So there are these points, these little bits that are similar, but it is certainly tragic. His relationship with his mother, his relationship with his uncle, his relationship with his father, everything about all of it is tragic. There are some golden threads of hope in the midst of all of it, but even that seems somewhat dashed by the end of the whole entire film.
We're talking with Pastor Ted Geese about the movie The Northman. On the other side of the break, he says under ordinary circumstances, this might be a big box office hit, but, well, maybe not. We'll find out why next. He's dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we mosey along in Amos with woe to those at ease in Zion. God abhors pride, warning visions, Amos accused, and Amos replies. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church holds that it is God who raises up men to serve his holy bride through his office of the holy ministry. At Concordia University Chicago, we prepare men to take the first step on the path by which God leads them to his pastoral office. Are you ready to take the step? I'm Dr. James Ambrose Lee, Chair of the Division of Theology at Concordia University Chicago. Learn more about the pre-seminary program at CUC by visiting cuchicago.edu. cuchicago.edu.
God's peace be with you from the beautiful Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Kingsford, Michigan invites you to include us in your travels to the North Woods. As you enjoy the beauty of God's creation, we're here to deliver to you the unsurpassed beauty of God's gifts of word and sacrament, where Jesus Christ is found for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. To learn more about us, search us on Facebook or visit ourredeemerkingsford.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, Chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back. We're reviewing the movie The Northmen. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, you say that under ordinary circumstances, this movie probably would be a box office success. Why is there a but at the end of that sentence?
Well, I don't know. Like, I this is very interesting. So this Robert Eggers is a kind of, I guess you would say, like an art house film director. So he kind of burst onto the scene with his film The Witch, which is very, this is The Witch, a New England folktale from 2015. It's come up a couple times. We didn't actually have a review of it on Issues Etc., but it's very tiny. There's only a handful of actors in it throughout the whole entire film. And it's, you know, set in this very, very early colonial North America with Puritans and dealing with an actual witch is part of the story. Then he made like a slightly bigger budget film called The Lighthouse from 2019, which we also didn't talk about, but that one had Willem Dafoe in it. And that one's kind of is about mermaids, which is kind of a weird thing for it to be about, but it's black and white and it's off the beaten path. It's if you're kind of bored with all the kind of like the cookie cutter movies that have been coming out, his movies are not cookie cutter movies. So, you know, I say all of that to preface the fact that this is a much bigger budget film. This is the scope and scale of it. Like all of these locations, like they shoot stuff in Ireland, they shoot stuff in Iceland. Some stuff I think is shot in North America, but it's like the number of cast, the number of costumes that have to be made. It's edging into that kind of epic, like historical epic kind of film. So it's just that the budget is bigger, its scope is bigger, everything about it is bigger. And it fits into that kind of category that oftentimes like people like to go see those kinds of movies. But it's also an R-rated film. And R-rated films tend to have a smaller box office because you can't take the whole family to go see it. You know, this is why children's movies do so well. Horror films, small budget, so it doesn't matter how many people go to see it. And his two previous movies can be categorized into the kind of like the horror film genre sort of a thing. And there are elements of this that are kind of edging into the horror film genre as well. But it's just such a, like, I think that I wonder how it's going to do commercially, because we're coming off the pandemic. People aren't really going out in droves. But you'd think that this is the sort of movie that like a bunch of guys particularly might like to see. And if you've been waiting for a authentic Viking movie for your whole life, let's say, then this is going to present that kind of moment in history, kind of picture of Vikings as they would be living, sort of a thing, in a way that's more authentic. And you'd think that that would be a draw. But when I went and saw it, it was like there was nobody in the theater at all. And I wonder how it's going to do. It's kind of sandwiched between things like The Batman and now the Doctor Strange movie that just came out. So it's, I think it's, maybe it's the way that it's being presented or the advertising campaign or however it's going. It's just not, I don't think, garnering the same sort of level of interest as it needs to really be that big success. And Robert Eggers himself has said that his next film he's hoping to do would be a smaller film, because this was great and everything, but it was a huge undertaking, a big giant task. So I hopefully that kind of answers your question, but I imagine that this is going to certainly find a cult following afterwards, if not in the moment, but it is something to behold on the big screen.
It doesn't sound like it has any attempt at satisfying the woke audience.
Well, this is a something that kind of bubbled up on Twitter, actually, that like Robert Eggers is, you know, in his mid to late 30s, I think. He's a Caucasian guy. He's quote unquote white. He's got, you know, this very short haircut and he's got this beard, and somebody made some sort of comment just looking at a picture of him saying that they were getting white supremacist vibes off of him. And of course it's a movie about Vikings in the 10th century and he's trying to be authentic. This is kind of where the hipster desire for authenticity runs headlong into wokeism. So it doesn't have representation the way that perhaps people deep in the left-hand side of the political spectrum and ideological spectrum would like to see. And it's kind of garnered a little bit of friction. And maybe that is part of the reason why it hasn't done as well as it could. Because if you have the right kind of blue check mark type folks on Twitter, let's say, or you know, the right blogs in the right places, kind of giving people a warning that this is not, you know, friendly to their ideologies, then maybe then they don't treat it in a neutral fashion and just go to make up their own opinion about it. That could be a part of things too. And interestingly, when we had talked about Kenneth Branagh's Death on the Nile film, you might remember this, like there was this kind of comment and we were talking about how, you know, they didn't have authentic to the period of, I think it was like the kind of like the 20s or whatever in Egypt on this boat, that the bellhops in the hotel, the crew on the boat, they weren't Egyptian looking for want of a better term. Like they weren't quote unquote brown people. And they had like light skinned young women and stuff doing these jobs, which seemed really strange and out of place. So, you know, in a case of a movie like this, you don't necessarily just have, if you're trying to be authentic to the time, like the evidence of there being, let's say, black African individuals in Scandinavia in the 10th century living amongst Vikings and like, quote unquote, being Vikings, it's just not. It's not there. So that kind of the representation that woke people might want to see in a movie like this starts to bend what would have been the case. And I think, and this gets back to that Death on the Nile thing, had there been at that time Africans in Northern Europe, they might have been there in the capacity of being slaves, taken by the Vikings or slave traded up to them. That's more likely the way it's going to be. And I don't think that he necessarily wanted to be, Robert Eggers wanted to be the guy that has African people represented as slaves in his movie. So instead, he just decided to have all the slaves be Rus and Picts, so Russians and Scottish people, and not to have anything, you know, coming from North Africa or, you know, anywhere else, you know. So does that kind of help kind of put a little bit of a, paint a bit of a picture about the challenges of this? Like, if you just want to do an authentic film, like an authentic telling of a time period in a straightforward way, it starts to run up against, because certain histories, certain time periods, certain areas of the world are not, it's not okay to show things in certain ways for the woke crowd. But this doesn't go both ways. So you're not going to see Nicole Kidman, who's in this film, playing Nelson Mandela. You know, you're not going to, like, they would not be like, I don't think the woke crowd would be okay with a tall, white, Australian lady playing the South African Nelson Mandela. Do you see what I'm saying?
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie The Northman. So you can't satisfy the woke crowd no matter what you do. It's always going to be wrong. Does that mean that conservatives should celebrate the culture and deeds of the Vikings?
I'm going to focus mainly on the realm of education and the assault that's underway there.
Former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Historically, education was always viewed in the West as a parental and religious function, not the state's. For 100 years, public education was not hostile to Christianity. Starting in the 1960s, it really went on a crusade against Christianity, first by trying to strip out any vestige of traditional religion, but more recently by trying to affirmatively substitute their own ideologies for traditional religious belief, and it's become a tool of indoctrination.
You can meet and hear Bill Barr at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Have you ever wondered why Jesus ascended into the heavens? Why does he leave his disciples behind? Why not stay here on earth and rule and govern his church here on earth? Well, if you've ever wondered this question, you need to pick up your copy of the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, where we talk about the Ascension, how to recover Ascension Day services in your own congregation, Ascension Day hymnody, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are reviewing the movie The Northman with Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. So, Ted, obviously you cannot keep the woke crowd satisfied by kind of cross-casting these things the way that they want it to be done and keep historical accuracy, but the woke crowd doesn't care about history. They don't care about truth. But you say, on the other side, we should not be celebrating the culture and the deeds of the Vikings.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're watching this movie, or pretty much anybody, right? I mean, like, the thing about that time period is it's very brutal. It's a super unyielding time. It's violent people engaged in theft, vandalism, human trafficking, so people trafficking. This is all part of it. So was every single person in every Viking community all engaged in that? No. Were they all kind of living off the proceeds of it? Yes. So it's not exactly the most praiseworthy culture to be, you know, lifting up. So, you know, this is the challenge, right? Like, just because it's not particularly woke doesn't mean that it's something to be celebrated either. There's lots of things that aren't woke, quote unquote, that are also not good. There are some Christians in the movie, and I found it kind of fascinating how they were woven into the plot of the film, in that it, you know, from a missiological kind of point of view, like the mission of the church, like Jesus almost 1,000 years earlier telling the, you know, remaining disciples as he's ascending into heaven, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. And then they go out and do it. As they do that, these cultures, these nations, they're starting to interact with Christians, and they're not always getting what Christianity is exactly right. Years ago, there was this silly from 1989, Terry Jones. He's like a Monty Python guy. He did this movie called Eric the Viking. And in it, there was a monk that happened to be among the Vikings in that film. It's a comedy with Tim Robbins, and Mickey Rooney is in it, and John Cleese and some other people. But it's this comedy, and there's this monk that's with them. And he does, like, that interaction between Christianity and Viking paganism is played for laughs in that film. In this film, it's not played for laughs, but you see this kind of, they're having a hard time figuring out what to make of Christianity. So at one point, there's this brutal thing that happens, and all these guys get, like, dismembered in the night, and they're nailed to the side of this Viking building in this settlement in Iceland. They suspect that it was the Christians that did it. They're nailed to the wooden side of this building, and they suspect that the Christians may have done it because, as one of the men say about Christians, he says, their God is a corpse nailed to a tree. So this is, you see the intersection between that, like, their pagan beliefs and what they're starting to understand about Christianity. So this is kind of a sophisticated little detail that they've included in the film, is they're not 100% understanding or picking up the gospel. The Holy Spirit is not completely done his work, as it were. And while this is a fictional account of this Amleth and all the rest of the stuff that's going on, trying to get at the roots of, or having this there, is kind of interesting, because it's getting into the roots of the intersection of mission work, where people are starting to have contact with Christianity, but they don't yet understand, and maybe they're still looking at all of it through their pagan worldview.
You've kind of done a little bit of it already, but any pastoral concerns about the film?
Oh, well, yeah, this is, like, listen, the R rating should let you know this is not for kids. If for some reason you're, you know, want to have some Viking-related kid stuff, like I said, Asterix and Obelix, or, you know, maybe you want to watch those How to Train Your Dragon movies, which have their own things that you'd have to work out with kids, etc. This film definitely does have pagan things in it. You might remember when we were talking about The Green Knight from a number of, well, it was just, I guess, last year, man. It seems like it might have been longer ago than just last year. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. I think it was just called The Green Knight. That was the David Lowery film. And that was kind of like the thing that got under my skin, was that David Lowery had taken this Christian poem that was decidedly Christian, very Christian, all sorts of Christian thematic things in it. And then he kind of took that poem and paganized it and kind of did this whole occult thing with it. Well, this is not the case with this film. It's not that it comes from this particularly Christian source material. So my pastoral concerns are that if you do watch this film, or you have watched this film, to play good cop, bad cop with it. Like we were talking about, there might be some things, like there's traditional gender roles, you know, like there isn't a lot of things that the woke community are going to think are interesting or nice or fun for them. But at the same time, this is a thoroughly pagan film. So then you have to ask yourself, you know, what is it that I think about this in connection to to my Christian faith and what I'm seeing in the film. And one of the main themes throughout the whole entire film is the idea that Amleth is taking out vengeance. And again, just recently we talked about the Batman movie by Matt Reeves, where Batman says, "I am vengeance." So this is a perennial thing. It comes up over and over again when we watch films, is this vengeance-related theme. And the Christian needs to think back to what Scripture says about vengeance. And Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." Right? So St. Paul mentions this. It's mentioned in Hebrews as well. They're quoting back to Deuteronomy chapter 23 in that. Also, Jesus do. Like, Jesus is almighty. He could avenge himself. He could send a myriad of angels to fight on his behalf. While he's being crucified, he doesn't fight back. He instead prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So how does the Christian engage with the idea of vengeance? Even King David puts vengeance into the hands of the Lord. In the Psalms, he'll pray, you know, "Break the arm of the wicked." So I think that the thing about a film like this is that, and lots of revenge-related films in a lot of ways, or vengeance-oriented films, is that you root for the person who's been unjustly taken advantage of or tragically taken advantage of. You root for them because you want to see justice meted out on the people who have done wickedness. From a Christian point of view, you need to think about who ultimately is the one who is to provide that justice, whose hands is it actually in, and then ask yourself, like, if I was in that kind of situation, would it be in my hands or not? Do I have the vocational responsibility to work on anyone's behalf in terms of meting out justice? These are the kinds of things. And then also, sometimes in life, justice is never served in this life. And on the last day, that's where everything will be uncovered and everything will be dealt with. So sometimes it's, you know, there's an impatience, and a film like this or these kinds of films can stoke the flames of impatience. And that's not what we're called to as Christians. So that's maybe a bit of a different kind of answer than people are used to me giving when we talk about, you know, pastoral concerns. But please, if you're watching this or you have watched it, or if you're just listening and you want to know more about this film, keep these things in mind.
You can read Pastor Geese's review of The Northman at issuesztc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Folks, there are only a few seats left for the organist workshop, June 6th through the 10th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. This annual workshop is intended for church organists of varying ability levels to improve their skills in service playing. Learn more at ctsfw.edu or by calling 260-452-2224. The 2022 Musician Workshop, June 6th through the 10th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 260-452-2224. In Hour 2, we'll talk about social conservatism with Aaron Wren, and then Dr. Joel Olowski will join us to talk about the Feast of the Ascension in the early church.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.